Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Goddess Alive Radio. I am so delighted to be here with you this evening. My name is Kimberly Moore, and I am the founder and priestess of Mother House of the Goddess and your humble hostess. And I am really delighted to be joined this evening by Chris Seidel, Creative Juices Arts. We're going to be delving into embodying our goddess selves through our creative expression. And I've been so excited to have Chris on the show. We've had this in the works for a couple months. Obviously, my move put a little bit of an extension into everything, so we're going to bring her on in just a minute. I hope you all are very, very well as we are, let's see, waning our way towards the new moon and eclipse season. Don't forget, September is always eclipse season. So I highly recommend that you guys are keeping up with the astrology on MotherHouseOfTheGoddess.com through Mary Lamondo or our other favorite weekly horoscope person, Chani Nicholas. And she's got some really great eclipse offerings, so I highly, highly recommend them. So let's talk about kind of what's going on. We've got a lot of things going on at Mystery School of the Goddess, and I wanted to just put a call out for Charlotte Elias. She has a new Tarot Circles virtual class that's starting September 22nd. Charlotte is a magnificent tarot instructor and dream instructor. You know, dream instructor, that sounds kind of funny. Dream coach, dream guide. Anyway, she is a really wonderful, intuitive guide for all of your explorations. But she is only opening this up to 9 participants. We've had several people register because this just went live the other day. So she's not going to have that many classes left. So just pop over mysteryschoolthegoddess.net and make sure that you reserve your space. She does have payment plans and all kinds of other good stuff going on there to assist you in getting into that virtual circle. Let's see, Wild Witch, Wild Soul also coming on, and Brandy and I are also working on our seasonal soul coming up for autumn. And since I am in the land of 4 seasons here in Delaware now, so excited, that means I'm really digging fall. I'm like waiting for it. Anybody who follows me on Facebook knows that I'm already praying for pumpkin spice. So it's going to be all good. Really fun. Really fun this fall. I also wanted to put out a big welcome to Wendy Victor Hess, who is one of our new contributors on Mother House of the Goddess. Her new post, her first post, Clearing the Space for Something New, also includes an antioxidant punch smoothie recipe. And Wendy is a really welcome addition to Mother House of the Goddess. We're really, really delighted to have her. And, you know, she brings some wellness wisdom to us and is also the author of Sweetness Without Sugar, which is a resource guide for delicious, are you ready, dairy, egg, and gluten-free treats with healthy sweeteners. Gotta love that. So make sure you check out the article, get your little antioxidant punch smoothie going on, and say hello to Wendy. So we're really delighted. We will be focusing on the sacred waters as we move into September. You know, Yemaya's feast day, our Orisha goddess Yemaya, her feast day is September 7th, and my mama Oshun is September 8th. So for the month of September, we will be focusing on the Orisha goddesses of the sacred waters, Yemaya being the mother of oceans, Oshun, the mother of fresh waters. So we'll be talking about those goddesses as well as other goddesses of sacred waters throughout the month of September. Our Mother Root issue will be out again in September. Hooray! And we'll be focused on sacred waters. We have a really great post coming up by Catherine Ravenwood, who wrote the book on how to create sacred water. So lots of really, really good stuff coming up. And of course, as I said, we're heading into my favorite time of the year. So everybody, make sure you're on our list. Make sure you're registered to get your Mother Root, which is our free digest, because we have lots of good stuff coming out. Okay, I think that's our housekeeping, right? Yeah, it sounds good. And let's see, I know everyone has been busy the past couple of weeks, especially people who have children. You know, this has been a big back-to-school time. So I just want to remind everybody to be a little selfish in a good way and take some time for yourself because, you know, as we are all gearing back up for different, you know, ventures and adventures, we also need to remind ourselves to take care of ourselves, to take good care. Take some time out just for you. Okay. So, Chris Seidel. So, I just simply, this lady is, I've been following her on Facebook, and her writing is inspirational. Her site is creativejuicesarts.com, and I really recommend taking a peek over there. There's just so much deliciousness, so much creativity. I mean, we're talking about classes and workshops and retreats and astrology, creative coaching, business mentoring, you name it. Chris does it, and she brings this gorgeous, inspirational flair to all of it, and it's like you can feel her smile, you know, through the internet. And don't you love people like that? I do. So, without further ado, I'd like to bring Chris on so we can connect and we can talk about some of her favorite things like love, mystery, and magic, color and music, paint, luminous language, and wild, wiggly words. Chris, how are you?
I'm great, Kimberly. I'm really great. Oh, my God. It feels so good to be here. And thank you for that really beautiful, beautiful introduction. And I've been stalking you, too. So it's kind of, I think it's an unusual little love fest going on here.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I love your expression in this world. So it's really a delight to have you on this evening.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And I'm so just really grateful for all the really beautiful work you're doing in the world with, you know, bringing sacred, you know, the sacred to women, you know, and all of these different ways of approaching the divine. I mean, it's just so luscious. Just, you're just this luscious, womanly lusciousness. It's just great. So, thank you for that.
Thank you. And I got to love that word, too. Luscious. That's a good word, isn't it?
It is. It really is. It's a good one. Yeah, cool.
So I absolutely love how you begin your bio on your website, and when you say that you were 24 years old, you went to your mother and asked her, is this all there is to life? And she said yes, and you said, I want a second opinion. Can you pick up that story for us? I love that.
Absolutely. And it's a true story. Oh, my God. Well, you know, I grew up, you and I were talking a little bit before the show, but, you know, I grew up back east. I live in California now, so I live in the San Francisco Bay Area now, and I've been here for 40 years. But I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which was great. It's a great town. You know, there's a lot of wonderful things about it. But, you know, I grew up with, as a lot of us women, you know, there were these ideas about, you know, what our life was going to be and, you know, and how we were supposed to behave and what we could expect. And, you know, a lot of it had to do with getting married and having children and, you know, that kind of thing. And that was something, I'm the eldest of 8 children, so I felt like I had already done the kid thing.
Yes,
exactly. I know. So the whole having the babies thing wasn't really on the radar for me. And I knew that there was something else that was calling me. And not that, you know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for mothers, and, you know, I think that that's the most important job in the world. It's not about that, but it just wasn't my path. But I didn't see another path. There wasn't anything else that was laid out for me, or there wasn't anything else modeled for me, you know, in the culture that I grew up in. So, you know, I went to my mother and I said, is there anything else? And she said, no. And I said, I'm not buying it. You know, I think I'm going to do a little bit of exploration about this. So I had a friend who also had grown up there, but she had moved to California and she was going to art school in California. And she came back one time from California and she said, oh my God, there's a whole other world out there. You've got to come. And so I did. So I packed up everything that I owned in a Volkswagen Bug along with a friend, so the both of us who had nothing at 24 years old, drove across country camping in the winter, and I made it to California, and then my life just opened up in this really incredible way. So I found that there was more. There was more than what my family knew about. I mean, you know, it was just that thing. They were limited and to what they had, you know, grown up with. So, yeah. So that's the story. That's
absolutely
the short version of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, there is a huge paradigm shift between California and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I mean, so they are different worlds for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, I have to ask, because I know you do some of the astrology gig.
Yes.
So, mm-hmm. you know, had you ever done your astrocartography to see what the difference was for the lines running
yeah.
for California?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes. I love that. I have to tell you, I'm like simply fascinated with astrocartography, you know, because I've moved around
really?
Myself so much. It's really
mm-hmm.
fun, you know?
mm-hmm. Interesting. It is. It's really fun. Well, the thing that's fascinating, so where I grew up in Pittsburgh, I had a very strong, it was a Sun-Saturn conjunction in Pittsburgh. So there was a lot of energy there, but it was also challenging energy. And then there's another place that I go every year to New Mexico to teach the intuitive painting, you know, stuff in Abiquiu, New Mexico, which is where George O'Keefe lived and painted.
Yeah.
And I've
yeah.
been doing that for 17 years. And in that place, I have a Pluto-Mars conjunction. So there's a lot of intense energy there in both of those places. But where I'm living
in
California, there's nothing. So I have no... I have very few influences here in California. You know, it's kind of open and it's kind of empty. And the way that I read that is that I can kind of create my own life, you know, so I'm not really under
full
the
of
influence.
Potential.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Because,
yeah.
like, when I go to New Mexico, it's so intense and it's so transformational, but I could never live there because it's too intense. And again, when I was in Pittsburgh, there was this energy that was too, again, it was too constraining. Like, I needed more space. And so my soul directed me here to California. You know, I mean, again, it was just like, I didn't know anything about astrology back then. And it was just home. So, yeah.
Oh, that's
That's what
amazing.
That looks like.
Isn't
that wild?
That is so great. Yeah. And I love that you go where George O'Keefe goes or was, you know, to create because,
mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I love her. I, you know, I'm a photographer. I do. Yes. And I'm a photographer. So that's my, because I can't even draw a stick figure. I mean, so.
Oh, honey, you come and paint with me. I'll help you out. Yeah. That's your judge of mine talking, darling.
I actually had a nun who was an art teacher who used to look at my stuff and go, really? It's just not your thing, okay?
I mean, that's a whole other conversation we can have around how what I do is to help heal the broken-hearted artist soul, you know? So, yeah. But anyway, so you're a photographer and you love George O'Keefe is what you were saying.
Oh, yeah. And orchids are one of my favorites. So, you know, I would go into the hothouses and I sit and I'm there for hours and I talk to them.
Mm.
You know,
of course.
We commune. Yeah. And, you know, and we always talk about Georgia. So I love it. It's really fun.
Oh, that's so great. Yeah. That's so great. I know. She's such an amazing presence there in the desert. You know, and it's so inspirational.
Bet.
People come there. Yeah, you can really feel, you can feel her, and then there's the land. The land itself is just so powerful and so transformative. And so people come, and the land and the spirit of Georgia does have to work for me.
So, oh, wow, absolutely. So tell us about this process. I mean, so is that where you do your retreats, and is that a retreat
it's
for you?
It's one of the places. Yeah, so I know it's a place, so I teach there. I do a week-long, sometimes I do 2 weeks back-to-back. So I teach there. I teach in the Sierras near Yosemite National Park in California, Yosemite Mountains. I teach,
yeah.
I know, I teach in the Redwoods. I have workshops that I teach in the Redwoods that is in here in California. And then this year, for the first time, I'm going to be doing a couple of retreats in Oaxaca, Mexico.
you know, which is
wow.
just like one of the most amazing cities, creative cities on the planet. So that's going to be happening in December. So, yeah, I teach, and then I have a studio where I do my weekly classes, and it's kind of my home base. It's where I'm at right now as we're having the call in Oakland, California. So I have
Beautiful.
Different, I create studios wherever I go.
I love that. I mean, that is super cool. And you, I mean,
it's cool.
You have chosen like some massive power vortexes for this creativity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Well, it is that thing. Like, you know, I really feel like I partner with the land, you know, when I take people
yeah.
to these places, you know, because it's the land itself is like each of those places that I go also feels very elemental to me. So Ghost Ranch is the Red Rock Desert, and so that's the element of fire. The mountains, you know, up in the Sierras, that's really like close to the roof of the world, and that feels like air or spirit. And then when I go to the redwoods, it's also, you know, in California, and it feels like earth. I still need a water place. I don't have a water place. Well, actually, my studio here in Oakland is water because it's really close to the ocean. So I have all these different elements that, and it really makes a difference in terms of the quality of the workshop, like what happens for people, because they really tap in without knowing it into those elemental forces. It's really cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, how could you not? I mean, that's just amazing. And where does Goddess come into it for you? Because you know, and again, to our listeners, please pop over to visit Chris and her blog and all of her beautiful offerings, because, you know, her blog, your words are just stunning. I love your posts.
Oh, thank you, Kimberly. I can't tell you how much that means to me. That touches me really deeply, because the whole writer thing for me is, I'm a late bloomer, so I didn't really claim that as an identity until probably like 2006. So it's really only been the past 10 years.
Wow.
So it means a lot. Yeah, so it means a lot to me that you say that. So thank you for that. That touches me very much.
Oh, you're so
and
welcome.
I love
and it's
write.
So deserved.
Oh, thanks, darling. Thank you. Thank you. So yeah, the Goddess thing. So my work, you know, I really feel like my work, it's, you know, I work with the creative process. I work with the intuitive painting process, which has roots in expressive arts and, you know, kind of art therapy. So it's more, you know, it's really painting from the soul, painting for expression and healing and psychological and emotional self-awareness, you know, spiritual opening. So it's not about product. It's not about technique. So that's why I was laughing when you were saying, I can't even paint a stick figure, because in this process, it doesn't matter. In fact, for some people, if you don't know how to paint, quote unquote, you're better off with this process, you know, because you have a lot less to unlearn. And I work from it. What?
I love that. That's great.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have to get you on retreat with me sometime. That'd be so fun. But, so I work with women, you know, primarily. I mean, I have a few stray guys that come in every once in a while, you know, but primarily my work has been with women, and with women coming into this process and really finding it's a place for them where, first of all, it's a self-nurturing, it's a nurturing thing. You know, they come and they're here to pay attention to themselves, to be with themselves, to express themselves, to listen to themselves. And also then there's the empowerment that comes from that. You know, when you're really connected to your soul and, you know, expressing yourself from that place, there's a great deal of power that, you know, women can feel and they can stand in and they can start to develop boundaries and take care of themselves and all kinds of amazing things. So out of that, you know, really grew I have my own personal relationship with the goddess. I mean, I grew up as a Catholic, and so I have a very intimate and powerful relationship with Mary, you know, and because I have so much, do you have with her too? Is she one of your girls?
I'll tell you, go ahead, because I'll share with you something really interesting about that. Yeah.
Okay, great. So the other thing is then, because I have such a strong relationship to the Southwest, you know, I mean, I'm always wearing turquoise jewelry. People think I live in Santa Fe because I have, like, I'm always wearing cowboy boots and turquoise jewelry. So then I have a very,
I know,
and strong relationship with Mexico and the South. So then I also have a very strong, the Virgin of Guadalupe is also one of my, you know, I mean, so the whole mother archetype for me, you know, the Divine Mother is huge in terms of my work and how I channel energy and kind of the space that I create and that I help women to step into. So I have that personal thing, but tell me what got triggered for you. I'm curious to, you know, hear what came up for you when I started talking about Mary.
Oh, I just, well, you know, I love that connection. So I was not raised with any religion at all. I mean, I was a wild heathen child. And what was really funny,
right,
around five, and you know, my family was really great about my seeing things and having dreams. And I have to say, you know, looking back, that was a big, you know, nobody ever said, that's not true, you didn't see that. You know, they just kind of rolled with it.
That's great.
And it's good, you know. But when I was about five, I was always a tough sleeper and everything. And I thought that I'd overheard a conversation, you know, from the adults. My parents would have these marvelous dinner parties, and I used to sneak down the stairs and listen in. And, you know, that was Cold War era. You know, I'm 46. So.
Yeah.
I overheard a conversation about how, oh, you know, Delaware, which is where I was born and raised, you know, would be like ground zero, and, you know, and that kind of stuck with me as a five-year-old.
Mm, yeah, yeah. Yes.
So, like, every plane I heard was, like, the plane, you know. And one night I was kind of in the throes of having a rough night, and all of a sudden I had this really warm feeling, and I kind of rolled over. And there was a woman in my window.
Oh.
And she was talking to me, and I was talking back, and I called her the lady. And we, you know, had wonderful conversations at night. And, I mean, my parents would say, who are you talking to? And I'd say, and they'd just go, okay, you know. So
wow.
At eight, they sent me to Catholic school. It was my first time ever in a church.
Oh, they just
other
sent
than
you
being
to Catholic school?
Beautiful. Yeah, they sent me to Catholic school because I was torturing the teachers.
Right.
They figured
right.
The nuns could handle me. And so I was with the Ursulines for 10 years. But when I walked
into
school, we were in this courtyard, and there was a statue of Mary adorned with flowers between the convent and the elementary school. And when I saw the statue, I looked at her and I went, huh. I must be in the right place because the lady's here too.
Oh, sweetie, that's such a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That is so beautiful. Oh,
she
that's
is
perfect.
So with me, and Guadalupe as well. I think I have about 6 or 7 Guadalupes now. I'm obsessed with her. I love her.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Me too. I know. I have Guadalupe jewelry. I have Guadalupe, you know, paintings and statues and the whole nine yards. It's so great.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to send you one of the artists that I think you're, let me see, Tanya Rose. I think that's her name. But I've gotten some amazing pieces from her.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'll have to put
it
up on Mother House and I'll share it with you.
I would love that. That would be so cool. Yeah.
Oh,
wow,
God.
That's so great. So we've got the Mary connection. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, and you know,
so
she's cool. Such a gateway goddess. I mean, for so many people,
really,
especially
anyone
who has Catholic orientation, especially. I think I find so many women who are very comfortable transitioning to maybe more exotic goddesses, so to speak, because they're familiar with, like, Mary Guadalupe or the saints, or, you know, it feels all very familiar.
Right. Yeah, because I grew up, when I grew up, the church that I grew up in was named the Immaculate Heart of Mary Church, and it had seven altars in the church. It was fashioned after the Basilica in Rome, and each altar was a tribute to her in one way or another. So I grew up, and I didn't know it, but I grew up in this goddess temple, and nobody would have called it that, but it was, you know, it was totally a devotion to her, you know, and there was all the talk about the boy gods, you know, of course, you know, but what I was surrounded by, you know, and what I saw, and again, the name of the church was the Immaculate Heart of Mary, you know, so that was really what shaped me and formed me. I mean, that was the church that I grew up in, you know, starting as a little kid. So, yeah, it's like
that.
She's like
you,
this underground sleeper cell.
Yeah, and you know, it's so cool because, like, I adore, you know, the Roman Catholic churches, especially because of all the saints and the Marys and
mm-hmm.
and how they, but it's that ritual just hits that
mm-hmm.
life chord in me like nobody's business.
Yep.
So.
Oh, yeah, Catholics do ritual like nobody else. Yep.
So true. I know. You get that, you know, incense going and everything else. And I used to go just to be in that vibe sometimes. You know, it's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
really,
it really
cool.
is.
So,
and
of course, you know, then too, we, you know, talking about creativity and the way you tap the soul. I mean, you are walking with Shakti. Like,
mm-hmm.
Mama, I mean, you have that Shakti energy around you.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's really true. It's really true. And again, it is that thing. Like, it's just, I mean, like, I started with her, you know, and then, of course, you know, as I, especially when I came out to California and then I got introduced to everybody else, you know, I mean, Kali Ma is one of my favorites. I mean, I love that girl. You know, and you were talking about, you know, Oshun and Yamaya and, you know, the water goddesses. And I mean, there's just so many, now that are part of who I, connect with and relate to. And, but I also started doing this thing with, so one of the workshops that I do, so I have my Painting from the Wild Heart workshops, which are, you know, the intuitive painting process. And I take people again to these beautiful places in nature and have them tap in and express themselves, and, you know, just these powerful transformations happen. But then I started working with, I created this program that's called the Art of Goddess Creation. And what it is it's helping women to kind of identify and name their own personal goddess. So, like, you know, one of the names that I go by is Wild Heart Queen, you know, so that's not, Wildheart Queen is one of my goddess entities, even though she's not like anybody that you would see in a book on the goddess, you know, because it's very personal to me. So I do these workshops with women to help them identify, you know, their particular goddess, and then create her and then paint her. And we do sacred adornment with her and name her and dance her and, you know, create sacred objects, you know, that help to empower her. And it's been really amazing to watch women tap into that. Like, it's this essential core goddess energy that's very personal to them, very intimate, and then kind of take that out into the world. I mean, that's just kind of crazy, amazingly beautiful.
That is so tremendous. And you know what's interesting about that too, Chris, is that I think one of the most popular or frequent questions that I get, like through email and stuff, you know, is women always ask me, how do I find my goddess? And
mm-hmm.
so now I'm going to say, you know, I'll throw out a few things, but then you're going to go see Chris because this is cool. I love that you're like creating these power sources. I mean, just amazing. That's really
it's
neat.
It's amazing.
Really neat.
It's really cool. It's so cool. And it's so cool because the, you know, the goddesses that arise out of this, you know, like this process, again, they're not goddesses that you would see anyplace else. And like I have this one you know, and they're different archetypes. Sometimes it's a goddess archetype, like, you know, my Wild Heart Queen is a queen archetype. You know, and I have one of my students, she is the fairy princess of confident flakiness. I mean, that's one of her goddess names, you know.
Oh my gosh, that's these, awesome. You need to do like a book
awesome?
Of all the different goddesses. That would be so fun.
I know. It's so fun. It's just so fun, you know. And like one woman was the wise listening crone, and there's the night sky priestess is another one that, you know, I was just thinking of different women and, you know, ones that they have come up with. One of them came up with the that was one of her goddesses, you know. So, I mean, so it could just be anything. And it's just like tapping into this primal kind of creative source in your being that's very connected to the divine feminine, and naming her, you know, and claiming her and expressing her. I mean, and it's just, oh my God, I just broke out into a cold sweat. I mean, it's just
beautiful. You
Isn't
know, I talk about goddess seeds in my own work, you know, I love the Greeks, you know, obviously the Orishas,
yeah.
The Greeks, the Hindus, like kind of my three pillars,
mm-hmm.
you know. And Ananke, you know, our goddess of necessity, I have
mm-hmm.
this vision with her where, you know, as our soul is entering the world after the fates kind of destine us, so to speak, we pass under the throne of Ananke, and she's the goddess that gives us our beingness. And as you were saying,
beautiful.
That, Ananke, like leaning over with this wild, like, you know, fairy wand, you know, and like kind of popping
mm-hmm.
people, going, remember, night sky priestess one day, you know?
Yes, I love
that's
that. Oh,
cool.
My God, that is so good. Oh, that is so
yeah.
good. That is so good. Well, it is that thing about, you know, kind of finding your true name, you know, like who you really are, you know. So people go around thinking that they are, you know, they are a computer programmer, or they are a waitress, or they are, I mean, you know, just these different kind of roles, you know, teacher. I mean, and they're all holy roles. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, but really their secret identity, you know, is that they are the, you know, the night sky priestess, or the wild heart queen, or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, like that God is self. And it just makes such a big difference for women to be able to live from that place and to not just think that they are only, you know, their mundane selves. It's really important.
And what a gift. I mean, what a gift
mm-hmm.
that is. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do get mired in mundania, don't we?
We do.
And,
we do. I love that, mired in mundania. That just sounds like a bad movie.
It is. It is. And I think some people really feel that way. No,
totally.
It's a bad movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
But it's true. It's true. We forget, you know, we forget that our divine nature, and we forget, you know, that we really are connected, and that we are, you know, at source, we have this divine, this divinity that we can tap
yeah.
into, and that can guide us and inform us, and where we can, it's, it has its own intelligence and its own wisdom, and, you know, all like that. So, yeah. So it's really
it
exciting and wonderful. It totally,
yeah.
it totally supports
yeah.
us. Yep.
Really supports
yep.
us. Yeah. I that's
mm-hmm.
what I always say is, goddess is talking to us all the time. It's just whether or not
time.
We're listening. You know?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And that's really what it is, you know, because that's part of the, you know, the same, I have that same teaching about, you know, that you are always, the goddess is always speaking to you. You know, your intuition is always speaking to you. And we learn to tune it out. We learn to ignore it. You know, we don't trust it. We don't believe it. Because if we start, and when we live our lives more from that place, who knows where she's going to take us? You know, so that's
yes.
part of it.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's such an adventure. It really is.
Yes, totally.
It is absolutely amazing. So beautiful. So I will ask you, so this is an interesting, you know, as we, I kind of have to laugh a little bit, you know, I've been a priestess for over 20 years. So
mm-hmm.
people's reactions to kind of goddess worship or priestess and everything, and, you know, are interesting. So like, 10 years ago, if I told somebody I was a goddess worshiper, they would say, oh, so you're a witch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really funny because I get a lot of, oh, so you do yoga. I mean, which just absolutely
right.
cracks me up hysterically. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have this, you know, we behind the scenes sometimes call it the whole food spirituality going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the
yes.
wild is being bandied about extensively. So what do you think about that? And what for you, if you're saying to someone, you know, your wild heart, your wild soul, what does that really mean?
Well, I mean, the wildness is, I mean, so the thing about the, you know, the creative process, the intuitive process, the, you know, aligning yourself with your divine wisdom is that you don't have any control, you know, so the wildness
yeah.
is really, right, exactly, right.
And, I just have to giggle a little, yeah, yeah.
totally. You know, so the issue is if you allow the wildness to come in, you know, if you make space for the wildness, then you have to surrender, you know, because the wildness will lead you in certain ways, and you have to be willing to relinquish the control in order to get the gifts of the wildness. You know, so that's part of it. You know, wildness has to do with letting go of control. It also has to do with a certain kind of freedom. You know, it's a freedom to be yourself. It's a freedom to express yourself. It's a freedom to have your voice, the freedom to speak your mind, the freedom to, you know, go for what you want and to follow your desires, you know. So that's another piece of it, you know, is the freedom and, yeah. And the thing that I said before, I just had a brain fart. I can't remember what I said.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, the lack of letting go of control. So letting go of control and really claiming your freedom. And then, you know, the other thing about the wildness is that, you know, I've been thinking about this lately. You know, so people talk about how we have, like, we're kind of divided beings. Like, we have the two different parts of us. Like, people refer to it as, like, the false self or the real self or the ego or the soul or, you know, like the left brain, right brain, the judging mind, the intuitive voice, you know, like all of those things. But I've been thinking about it as, you know, the domesticated self and the wild self. You know, so there's
ooh,
the domesticated
right?
self. Isn't that good? Isn't that
yes.
good?
I know. I just
really good. Yeah.
Really. Yeah. So, you know, so it is that thing where, you know, we learn how to behave, you know, we learn how to be good girls and good women and, you know, do the right things and not ruffle anybody's feathers and, you know, kind of, we can get a lot of approval for that. But we're also in a box. We're also constrained. And the wildness is, you know, kind of throwing that off, throwing off some of that conditioning and throwing off some of that training, you know, and kind of connecting up with who we really are. So I think about the wildness in relationship to that, too. And plus,
wildness is just
a lot of fun.
It is juicy. And you know what's interesting? Brandi Alsett and I were just reviewing, we're getting ready to do a seasonal soul course for autumn. And, you know, we wrote it last year. We're buffing it up this year. And, you know, it's just a fun little prompt course. But I actually, mm-hmm. you know, in reading it from last year, I realized what I was talking about was that for me, and at 46 too, you know, in the time of my life I am, I really feel like the wild woman is the archetype for autumn in some really amazing,
yes.
you know, mm-hmm. because you can tap into that experience, knowledge, and wisdom of
mm-hmm.
what we don't have. Be what we don't want to be. We know that now.
Mm-hmm.
And we really,
mm-hmm.
I think,
right.
you know, I'm watching women in their 40s, 50s, 60s just bloom in amazing, wild ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
yep.
they get out of that domestication. Oh, I like that
yep.
a lot, Chris. We've got to talk about that offline. I think there's something in there with that domestication
I
and wildness.
Right. Yeah, no, I think, I mean, because again, you know, I've been kind of, you know, because there's that, there's a truth to that, you know, that there's these two parts of our being, you know, and there's the part of us. I mean, you can think about it also as your, like your essential self as opposed to, you know, your non-essential self, or, you know, kind of being authentic and inauthentic and all that kind of thing. You know, but the wildness, I think, is just so important, because we're losing that on so many different levels. I mean, we're, you know, there's the wild earth, you know, like it's getting all domesticated,
yeah,
and covered up with concrete and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and as women, you know, our wildness is suspect. Our wildness is considered to be dangerous when we're wild, you know, because
yeah,
the wildness is connected up to our power. It's connected up to our voice. It's connected up to our sexuality. You know, it's connected up to our creativity. I mean, it's not, it can't be controlled. You know, when you're in that wildness, you cannot be controlled. And that's what, as
yeah,
women, we are trained, you know, to that's, you know, that we're supposed to be under somebody's control somewhere. So. Yeah.
Right. And isn't that so interesting? I mean, you know, you look at some of the, you know, goddess mythology as well, and like look at the Maenads. I mean, you know, uncontrollable, right? I mean,
mm-hmm,
tear a man limb in their wildness. So,
yep,
you know, the programming for wild is dangerous. What did they do with Erishkigal, you know, Inanna's sister? They put her,
yep,
into the underworld in the throes,
exactly,
of her wildness. You know, Kali,
mm-hmm,
Ma. Oh my gosh. I mean, please.
Yeah.
Well,
I know.
If she doesn't,
well,
I don't care.
Her,
I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
She's,
right,
like one of my favorites too. So.
Oh, good. So you're, I know. I love that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give,
mm-hmm,
me those goddesses. And for me, you know, I'm actually in formal training to become a Lukumi priestess. So Oshun is my mother.
Mm.
And been,
oh,
amazing elemental tapping, you know, of that,
mm-hmm,
wild. The Orishas are very wild.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not,
mm-hmm,
have not been domesticated. So I really like that terminology. Very cool. I love... See, this is just so much more rich than even just looking at your beautiful website of what do you do, Chris? So this is really great. Do you think you found your calling? Is this it? Oop. Did I lose you? Chris, can you hear me? Hello? Uh-oh. Everybody, bear with me here for a second. Let's see what we've got going on. I don't know if I hit a button or Chris did. Hang on 1 second, everybody. Chris, can you hear me? Uh-oh. Everybody, bear with me. Sometimes we hit these, and you know Mercury is going retrograde on the 30th, so that we thought maybe we'd get away with something. I don't know. Let's see. Chris, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
There you are. You know, I'm so sorry. I have to apologize. I ran into my laptop, and it shifted on the laptop where nobody was to mute it. So I apologize.
Oh, yeah. No worries, honey. That's okay. No, it's fine. I was like, oh, my God, the wild goddess came in and, like, you know, threw us off off the air.
So,
oh, my God, that's
so
funny.
I think what I lost you was, is this your calling? I mean, do you believe you found it?
My calling? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel very aligned with that, and I'm very grateful. I mean, I feel like I found it relatively early. I mean, well, I guess, yeah, probably once I came out to California, and, you know, discovered all the healing energies, and I've been on the path of being, you know, a healer. I mean, that's another one of the archetypes that I really claim and carry. And so, yeah, I definitely feel like this is my calling. This is my path. This is my mission, you know, my purpose, all that kind of stuff. It's quite good.
Oh, I love hearing that. I really, you know, that makes me so happy because, and it shows in all of your work. So you have a retreat coming up. So let I want to make sure we let our audience know about your retreat. Can you give us a little bit of insight? What's going to happen?
So I'm taking a group of people to Mexico, to Oaxaca, Mexico. So Oaxaca is a city in central Mexico that is just one of the most beautiful and artsy and creative towns on the whole planet. I mean, there's just so many amazing artistic things that are happening there. There's weavers and there's potters and there's painters and, you know, the town itself is just one big art project. And so I'm going to be taking a group there, and I have a place that we're going to be painting that's going to be at this place called Art House Oaxaca. And this place also has a cafe, and so they're going to feed us organic, delicious food. And then we're also going to take a couple of day trips out to some of those villages that are on the outskirts of the city, you know, to visit some of these villages that, like, do some of these, you know, arts and crafts things. We'll probably have some shamans coming in. I mean, so it's going to be, and we're going to paint. We're going to paint, you know, our wild hearts out in this studio that's actually outside under a veranda. So we're going to be, you know, just in this beautiful, beautiful place, and painting and eating and adventuring and hanging out in Oaxaca and, you know, and shopping. So, you know, it's going to be...
I love it! Oh, my goodness!
So that's happening in December. It's December 12th to the 19th. And there's still a few spots open in that retreat. And, yeah. So that's the next big one that I have coming up that has any openings.
Okay. Good. And I'm going to repeat for our listeners, creativejuicesarts.com is how you find Chris. Mm-hmm. And you do. Mm-hmm. You want to. So,
yeah.
And with your astrology, you do quite a few different readings and everything.
Yeah.
With eclipse season coming up, do you have any advice for people?
Hold on to your hats.
Right.
I mean, it's a wild ride. It's really a wild ride. Yeah. It's just a really intense time. It's, you know, and it's not going to really end anytime soon. You know, I mean, there's a, this is a year of a lot of purification that's happening this year. So, you know, if you're in that purification process, to just keep going with it. And the eclipses intensify that, you know. And the purification process can look like going into the underworld for a while, but then it could also look like release and letting go of a lot of old patterns and a lot of old things. I mean, I think a lot of people are really experiencing that, you know, we're moving, we have to be moving into this place where we are claiming our bigger selves and our goddess selves and our, you know, our divine selves, so that we can make the changes that we need to make in the world right now. So we have a big job ahead of us. So the cleansing is important.
I know. Yeah. Well, the spring eclipse season was the one that took me out. I was in fetal position by May. So, you know,
were you? Yeah.
Oh, boy. But, you know, there is another side. Yay. I was happy to find it. And how does creativity, so when you're going through these challenging astrological times, spiritual times, you know, how can people kind of, you know, ground that into their creativity to begin that expression? Do you have any tips for that?
I mean, the thing about the creative process that I love, and, you know, the painting process or the writing process or dance or movement, any of those, you know, is that it really brings you into the present moment and into connection with what's really happening right now. You know, so to create from that deeper place, you have to really be present to what's going on with you. You can't be in your head so much. You know, so it's the willingness to be in your body. It's the willingness to feel your feelings. It's the willingness to, you know, be in your own energy. So, you know, part of what the creative process really asks of us and really demands of us is that we be willing to be present and to feel everything that we're feeling, and then to create from that place. which means that we have to slow down, we have to sit with it, we have to, you know, I mean, I just did a little mini workshop a couple of days ago with a good friend of mine that we call Resistance RX, you know, magical momentum for creative expression or something. I can't remember the tagline, but
yeah,
what we did for an hour is we asked people to sit in their resistance and to name it and to feel it and, you know, to then go off and express it later. But there's something about being with it initially, because we're always trying to dodge those things that are hard.
Right.
I was talking about it as creating a discomfort practice, you know, so being willing to be with what's uncomfortable. And sometimes what's uncomfortable is our own brilliance. Sometimes what's uncomfortable is our own joy, you know, so the discomfort isn't always just the darker stuff or the harder stuff. But it's that willingness to sit with your edges and then, you know, and then create from that place, you know, to write from that place, which means you have to also be willing to be really honest. You know, there's a nakedness and an honesty that is called for when you're really in the creative soup. So I don't know if that was the tip you wanted, but that's what came. So.
I love it. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And I think that's always a good lesson, especially, well, I mean, this year has been like the year of retrogrades and everything too. So,
yep.
You know, I think so much is coming up for people that, you know, we're really, there's no dodging anything in the past 9 months, in my opinion.
No,
you know,
that's right.
Coming
nope.
And too bad.
Yeah, no, it's
so,
true.
Yeah, so this is, I'm kind of looking forward to September, you know, that I kind of get a better read spring.
Well, and I do feel like this next eclipse season is going to be kind of like the, you know, it's the harvest, you know, so it's like you said, this past 9 months has been, a lot of people have been going into the underworld and doing a lot of deep work, you know, and I think there's going to be an opportunity for a certain celebration, you know, that's coming up in September. That's kind of my sense of
beautiful.
Some of these eclipses coming up. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's kind of like a bit of a graduation party.
yes. I love that. So let me just ask, is, you know, if you kind of give us a sneak peek into your day, you know, I find that, again, another very frequent popular inquiry question that we get through Mother House is kind of like, you know, what do priestesses do at home, kind of a thing, you know, so what brings you, is it your mornings or what ceremony, ritual or practice really transforms you for your day?
Well, I mean, you know, so one of the things has to do with taking care of my body. I mean, that's just really essential. So, you know, like eating well is really important. like my morning smoothie is part of my ritual practice. You know, I always have an altar that's set up that I spend some time with, you know, like I'll do some rattling or some singing or some lighting candles or maybe offering, you know, something to whatever it is that I have on the altar at that time. So that really helps to connect me up with, you know, my helpers, you know, my spiritual guides and, you know, the spiritual energies that are really there with me. And then being out in nature, I mean, that's another thing. I try to get outside as much as possible. And I mean, lately I've been there's a redwood forest that's about an hour away from where we live, but me and my husband have been going on the weekends, and I've just been going to the redwood forest and lying, you know, in the pine needles and then also walking around and rattling and singing to the trees. I mean, that's just been so sweet. And then hearing them singing back to me. I mean, it's just been really amazing. So that's something I've been doing more and more of is, you know, recognizing how much I'm surrounded by allies and support and love, you know, with the beings, you know, that populate my environment, you know. So it's honoring that and paying attention to that and listening to that. So that's another thing, you know, that really makes a difference.
Beautiful. Singing
and then
to
writing.
The tree.
Yeah, the writing thing too. Yeah,
isn't that cool?
They liked it. They were so, I just, you know, I was had this rattle and I was just rattling and walking and then making up these little songs and they were just like, oh, I could feel them just getting all excited. Like, this is for us, you know. It was really, really delicious and sweet.
It's so cool. I know. That's been one of, for me, a big deal coming back to the Northeast is, you know, South Florida is very beautiful in many ways, but you know, I missed the land, the trees here, where, you know, these rolling hills and just these big, big trees. And, gosh, I think I've been outside more in the past couple of weeks than I have in a year or two in Florida.
Yeah.
Digging it so much.
Exactly.
It's
so good. It's so good.
Yeah. So good. Well, you know, Chris, I am so tickled to have connected with you, to introduce you to our listeners. Is there anything that we didn't cover that you want to make sure to share with everyone?
Well, the other thing, there was one other thing I wanted to just mention, which is that, you know, so my business and my practice, a lot of what I do are live events and retreats and workshops and, you know, which is great. You know, I love that. But then a couple of years ago, or maybe it was a year and a half ago, I created my very first online intuitive painting workshop. And it's been so, I've run it 3 times now and I'm going to be opening the doors again in October, you know, and it's called Painting with Fire, Art as Wild Creative Freedom. I can't remember. I can never remember my own taglines. Anyway, it's called Painting with Fire.
Yeah.
I know, really. And so it's a 6-week online class that really introduces you to the intuitive painting process and really kind of takes you on a journey, you know, into, you know, what does it really mean to let go of control and to start listening to your intuition and, you know, start developing, you know, a relationship with the invisible realms and, you know, like that. So that's coming up starting in early October. So that's another thing. If you go to my website, I don't think it's on there yet because we haven't launched it yet, but we're going to be launching it soon. So that's
beautiful.
That I'm excited
beautiful.
About.
Yeah.
Looking
for
and
that.
It's a,
great.
Yeah. And it's a good thing for
love
people,
that.
You know, who can't come and, you know, come and do the retreats, which I know is a big deal, but it's much more accessible. So.
Oh, the online, our online universes are so magical, aren't they? It's so incredible.
They
that
are.
We can connect, like, yeah.
It's so,
so good.
It's so good. Mm-hmm.
It
yeah.
is. So well,
yeah.
Let me repeat for our listeners. Chris's website is creativejuicesarts.com. Trust me, you want to check it out. And she has some beautiful, a beautiful prayer on the blog right now to the Great Mother. So beautiful. And lots of great, you know, your blog is wonderful. And you are featuring one of my favorite people too, Nadine Hamill, who was from South
Florida.
Yeah, so I met Nadine at her wonderful studio in South Florida before she went back up to the Pacific Northwest, and she's a magical lady.
Oh my God! Yeah, because I have a teacher training program where I teach people how to do this intuitive painting process, and Nadine did my teacher training program years ago. That is so great that you know Nadine. I love Nadine. She is so cool. Oh my God, I love these connections.
Such a cool lady. Yeah, she is such a cool lady. So.
That's
and her
great.
Studio
That's
really great. Was. It was very magical. So I imagine where she landed. Yeah, after South Florida, I'm sure she's spreading the magic there too. So really beautiful lady.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. She's up in Washington somewhere. So yeah. Oh my God, that's I love that. 6 degrees of separation.
I know. It's absolutely wonderful.
It really is. Oh my God.
Well,
Chris, thank you for joining us and sharing your wild heart queen with us. She was flashing through. I love that.
Isn't that great? I know, it's fun. Yeah. Thank you, darling.
When
thank
are you,
you
doing your next goddess, you know, for women that might be interested in that?
Yeah, I don't have it scheduled right yet. So, you know, if you go to my website, I do have a newsletter that I send out like once or twice a month. So it's not like a ton of, you know, email from me. But if you get on that newsletter or if you follow me on Facebook, then when I have that scheduled, I'll be announcing that. But I don't have it scheduled right yet. It'll be sometime early next year. So.
Great. We'll be looking for that too. So lots of goodies coming.
And I'm working on an online version of that. So that's really the thing that, you know, I'm hoping to get out by next year is the online version of the Art of Goddess Creation, which I think is going to be really hot.
That is fantastic. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, so we'll have to talk about that offline too.
Yes,
see if we can
see
the mystery school.
Right, exactly.
It's so good. Well, thank you so much. What a wonderful way to spend an evening is chatting with you and meeting Wild Heart Queen. So thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. And for your expression in this world, thank you.
Thank you, Kimberly, and thank you for inviting me into your gorgeous world. I mean, this is so fun. This is just really a delight, and you're a delight. And thank you for the beautiful work that you're doing in the world. It's really important. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, so good. And to all of our listeners, thank you. You all are wonderful, and I appreciate your presence so tremendously. And we are back on our regular Thursday night schedule, so we will be back next week. And, you know, I'm not even hardly up on my own schedule. Isn't that crazy? Because it's just been a little crazy lately here. But we do have Trista Hendren from the Girl God coming, girlgod.org. We're going to be at 9 a.m. next Thursday, though, because Trista is in Europe. So we're going to be shaking up a little bit so she doesn't have to do the middle of the night. Okay, everyone, motherhouseofthegoddess.com, creativejuicesarts.com. You need to tap the wild, and I think Chris Seidel might be the lady to do it with. So check her out, and you know, make sure you say hello and that you heard her on Goddess Alive Radio. Chris, again, thank you. Big, big hugs sending out to you on the West Coast there. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Thank you, Chris.
You're welcome, Kimberly. Thank you. Bye.
Good night. Bye, everyone.